Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all campuses. Come on, Faith Church, make some noise. It's going to be a big weekend. It's Super Bowl Sunday. This is where we all get to see Taylor. Come on, girls.
Yeah, I think all the ladies at all the campuses, if we're rooting for the Chiefs because of the Taylor, just say 13. Yeah, I know.
Two people. It's quiet. The other campuses, maybe they participated. Taylor got dished. In fact, I saw two really cute twins over here. Girls are 14. They're both, I looked at them.
I know,
and I'm like,
you guys are watching because of Taylor. Am
no,
I right?
They didn't. No. They totally, I just, what do you call it when you stereotype people? What do you call that? I guess stereotype, yeah. Like, you guys are watching Taylor right now. Nah, actually, we don't like Taylor much. So I'm like, you're kidding. But anyway, give it up for Jesus one more time. We're going to have a good time today. And today I'm hoping Nicole does more talking. You guys have to hear me all the time. Last couple weeks she's been out on tour doing some stuff. And so today we're going to talk about relationships and how God really plays a big part of it. And knowing how to resolve conflict. If you've ever been in a relationship, they ain't nothing normal about not having conflict. Conflict is normal. You just do it when you're Christian in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Amen?
Well, and you don't just conflict with people that you're married to or people that you're dating. Like, the rule about conflict is you conflict with people that you are in proximity with. So anybody who's close to you, anybody who you can reach out and touch on, the people in the cube next to you, your neighbor next to you, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. It's just, how many of you have ever showed up for Thanksgiving and ended up in an altercation, right? It just happens. And we wanted to talk about conflict today because conflict can be constructive. The way we've done it a lot of times, the way we did it when we got married, I feel like I'm so far away from you. Can I get closer to you?
Together.
Hi.
Let's stay together.
You're kind of cute.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate
it. I think somebody
it.
Was trying to separate us.
Yeah.
I don't know what these are. I think
they're the red flags. They tried to teach me, by the way. Like, I forget what it is. You throw a red flag, and what does that mean? Okay, you throw a yellow flag. What's that mean? That's all I know about football. And I was like, I can't risk it. I can't go down there and act like I know. In fact, in high school, because I went to homeschool, I played tailback. If you know it, you never heard of tailback. That's where the coach says, get your tailback on the bench and sit down.
I was a cheerleader, so I actually know what a first and 10 is. I know what we're going for, and I know what the scorekeeping is. But I want to, I'm just distracted. I want to throw one of these. Here you go. Ready? Somebody catch it. One, two, three.
In Jesus' name, help him, Lord.
Hey! Made it all the way to the front row. So conflict. And I know conflict can be a little tense, but if we're going to fight, we might as well learn how to, like, fight and get some good out of it, right? You want to come out of a fight with, if anybody's underage, I apologize. Maybe send them to nursery. But if you're going to come out with fight and you're married, you want to come out with some makeup sex, right? You want some good to come out of this fight. If you're going to fight and you're not married,
there's
that part comes after
got
you
red
walk
right
down
now.
The aisle.
I don't even have the nerve to look at the 14-year-olds right now. It's not. They're already like, I don't like Taylor or you guys.
No, I've had two teenagers, and anytime I wanted to know about things I didn't know about, I went to them, and they counseled me because they learn at school. Amen. But we want to use conflict constructively because out of conflict can come connection. And some out of the biggest fights we've ever had, we've ended up closer. And I've even met people who have, in this church, who are married. Dumb things happened. They got divorced. They got married again. And they've been married over a decade.
And that's not a note for you, like, honey, let's try that. That's not what we're doing. But the Bible says, you know this, in every campus, come on, everybody, give it up for this verse if you know it. Here it is. The devil comes to do what?
To steal, kill, and destroy.
But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. So if it's stealing, it's killing, and it's destroying, it's the devil. And so the Bible also says, what God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. Yeah. So the enemy and the inner me is always trying to affect the relationship and trying to get you to blow things up out of proportion because you have bad days and you say things you didn't mean. Let's do that. That'll be good for relationships. Have you ever said something that you really didn't mean? Have you ever sent a text? You're like, I wish I could get that back. You run in and get the phone, try to delete it. You're like, why are you in my phone? Well, I'm deleting a text that I sent you when I was angry.
Because now we're over it, right? Yeah. So everybody fights. Just go ahead and say that all campuses. Say everybody fights.
Everybody fights.
Because it's unrealistic also to get into a relationship or to start dating or even with a best friend and think, oh, this is the way it's going to be. I like them because we don't fight. And I tell my daughter, because my daughter's not married yet, I said, hey, make sure you guys don't get engaged until you have a couple of really good fights. Because it's not about how you get along. It's about how you fight. And if you fight well, you're going to be married a long time, right? Because are you somebody you fight? You take the gloves off. You say everything you ever thought, everything you ever thought about thinking. This was me when we got married. Okay, honey, bring it on. Because I can talk. I can talk for a living. And if I'm going to roast you, I'm going to bring the whole barbecue pit. Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready for a barbecue. I'm kind of hungry.
Pastor Phil saying amen. I hear him already. All the way from home. You know, and that's the whole deal is like it's having honest conversation. Not that you shouldn't have confrontation, because you will, yeah. But doing it in a constructive way. And we didn't do it right. We've been married 26 years, which sounds like a lot until people last night were like, we've been married 50. So, I mean, hey, that's great. But I was married 8 years and it didn't work out. And part of the thing was I was trying to do, and I spoke about it a little bit last week, I was trying to make my wife be my mom and I was trying to be my dad, and you've got to be you. Now, it needs to be the best version of you. It needs to be the saved version of you, not just like, this is the way I am. That's the way we do it at our house. No, we go to church. We hear the word, and then we go through Growth Track. Growth Track is not just like church membership. Growth Track is to teach you about personality differences, because you have everybody has a different personality. I saw somebody
Some
going,
people have multiple personalities.
And so when you identify that, because a lot of times what happens is, you know, when we were fighting, she was honest with me one day, and we might have been mad, I don't know what it was, but she said, you don't fight fair. And after I heard that about three times, I thought, you know what, I don't fight fair. I fight to win. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it's like, if we fight, I'm not that big. My arms are like really small. So if I fight, I've got to bring weapons, right? But the weapon of choice in our relationship was I've been hurt. We've been all kinds of issues, what I saw modeled. So if we're going to fight, I'm going to fight. But thank God Nicole was telling me, hey, you don't fight fair. And after I heard that multiple times, I'm like, man, I don't know if I believe her or not. And then the kids, I don't know if she told them or where they got it, but they're like, Dad, you don't fight fair. I started hearing it from multiple places, and I realized I've got to learn to fight fair, because I'm not looking to kill anybody. We're looking to say, hey, I'm hearing you.
Because winning the fight doesn't mean you got in the quippiest comment or you made them hurt the worst. And winning the fight doesn't even mean you got your way. I have walked away from more. Now we don't fight. Now we have confrontation. Not because he changed. Now, when we got married, I just got to be honest, there was a few things I wanted to change about him. One of them was his hair, and we were only dating about a month. Got that done. Wanted to change his wardrobe. Didn't tell him. Just kept going shopping and buying him stuff. Got that done.
Women are tricky like that, guys. So.
But since we've gotten married, I don't think I've been able to change a single thing about him. And there's still a couple of things, you know, there's a couple of edges maybe here and there that I've wanted to sand. And what I've figured out with help of personal coaching, because I believe in coaching and I get coached every week, is that to change him, the only way I have control over changing him is to change me. And if I can continue to change me to bring out the better parts of him, if I can continue to change me to maybe model something that I want him to do too, without telling him about it, just do it. It's like, if you're a Christian, like, hey, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sunday, and then you're a jerk all week long, like, nobody's going to want to go to church with us. But if we model the life of Christ all week long, people are going to start asking us, what's different about you? So that's what I started trying to do, is change me in enough ways that he would bring out the best parts of him. Because I would, he'd come in at 10. Honey, if you're coming in 10, I'm coming in 11.
I'm going to raise you 2.
And we're both Enneagram 8s.
Yeah, which is choleric, if you know that. So it's just very, it's a lot when you're both choleric. And then, but sometimes people are also, and this is why I love Growth Track again, and it's happening on campuses, Ferguson, wherever you're at. When you go in and you figure out that maybe you're a sanguine or you're a phlegmatic or melancholy, you're easier to steamroll over. A choleric is like Saddam Hussein is a choleric, okay? Y'all follow me right now? Joyce Meyer, in a positive way, is a choleric, all right? And so that personality God gave you is not a bad thing. It just says, hey, I have to figure out what the basement, the unhealthy part of this is, so I can make sure that we're fighting, but we're not fighting to try to kill each other. We're on the same team. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We're on the same team. Everybody shout that with me. We're on the same team.
We're on the same team.
And so you're not fighting. I love the statement you said last night. I forgot what it was, but it was bizarre. It was like not fighting. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting for something or something
like
that.
Well, it's not what we're fighting about. It's what we're fighting for.
That's it. That needs to be a shirt.
Because how many of you ever fought about who was in a movie, who made the recipe better, who took the dog out, where you left your phone? Like something dumb. Like you went all in on this fight, but you realize later that was kind of stupid. All campuses, raise your hand and say me. And if you lie right now, I'm going to pray down lightning. Because it's just, do we fight about dumb stuff? We get caught up in what we're fighting about, but it's not what we're fighting about at all. Matter of fact, doing some psychological study on conflict, it turns out usually what we're fighting about is not what we're fighting about. We're usually fighting about a hidden agenda. And it says that the three things that people usually fight about, you want to know? The three things we're really fighting about are value, not being seen, not being felt, not being valued, not thinking we're bringing things to the relationship. Trust, like I don't really trust you, or sometimes we don't even really trust ourselves in that situation. And power, and by power, I don't mean like, I'm in control, or I'm strong. But sometimes the quest for power in a relationship comes from fear. Like, I'm afraid that you're going to leave me. I'm afraid this isn't going to work out. I'm afraid we're going to go bankrupt. I'm afraid this is spiraling out of control. So if I can control something, then I feel like I have control. And that kind of control is also interpreted power. So it's not just brute force, but it's power. And there's usually two different people hook up. And one person, whether it's the friendship, whether you're dating, whether it's the marriage, one person is usually afraid of loss in terms of, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to be rejected. So that person's going to say like whatever they need to say to kind of keep the relationship together. The problem is they don't really mean it. And it's all good and fine for them to keep putting that Band-Aid on it until the day that it's not. If you've gone to Growth Track and you've taken the temperament profile and you are a phlegmatic or you're married to a phlegmatic, here's the thing about a phlegmatic. Typically, they are passive aggressive, which means they're going to placate, they're going to concede, they're going to give you your way until the day they walk out the door and give you divorce papers. And they're probably not going to give you any notice because they don't want to fight, right? So that person, the person who's afraid of loss, abandonment, and rejection, and in our relationship, that person is me. The other person is the person a lot of times who's afraid of losing themselves. They're afraid they're going to get suffocated. Don't change me. Don't change my ways. Don't tell me what to do. I don't want to lose me in the relationship.
I don't want to lose me. Does that make sense? Raise your hand if that makes sense. So like in me, I'm like, you're not going to change me. You know, here's the deal. I don't do that. Like I told her we got married. Like she's like, hey, I'm pregnant with Ashton. I'm like, well, you know, what I don't do is I don't take like little kids to the zoo. I don't go to Six Flags. I don't play mini golf. I ride motorcycles. And then Ashton got here and I was like, I'm going to do whatever she wants to do, right? Because my first answer is always
no.
Yeah, so I always say that. She warns employees when we first started. I had more interaction with people. She'd like, his first answer is always no. And then I told her one time, I'm like, I've saved millions of dollars by saying no. And she said,
no, you just spent it later.
She's right. Right. So I just say no. And so later she taught me, she said, the better answer for you is, and it wasn't like she was mad. We're just communicating. Maybe you ought to say, hey, I'm thinking about it. Because what I would do is I would say no. I would think about it, then I would come back, and honest to God, I wasn't making it up. I wasn't trying to make anybody feel stupid, but I would come back a few days later and go, man, I had a great idea. Anybody ever had that? And I swear, I thought it was my idea, and they're like, Nicole played along because she's smart. She doesn't care as long as she wins.
I don't care if it's his idea or my idea. If I get my way, ooh, victory dance in the end zone.
Yeah. And so knowing your mate, knowing that person you're dating, by the way, all the single people, listen, the way you're dating this person right now, number one, I said it last week, I think, you got to date somebody for all four seasons because they're going to forget their meds on one of those months. And when that happens, you're going to see the real person.
Wait. What is all four seasons? It's like a whole year.
Yeah. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. So now all four seasons. And then you also can find out a lot now through social media. I can see somebody's social media and they're like, it's about me. Here's me. Here's me. Here's another picture of me. They got a husband and four kids. You never see any of that. It's just me, 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 me. All I want is me, 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 me. Come on, say amen to this. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's you, but you got to look. Social media is great because you can find out. Another thing you can do when you're dating somebody is see how they treat a waiter. See how they treat their mom and dad. Because the way they treat their mom, the way they treat their dad, is the way they're going to treat you. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Ought to agree with me on that? Come on, Weldon.
Well, and if you ever heard about matching my energy, right? You, if somebody comes into a fight, like, okay, I'll match your energy. And we try to just kind of go where they're going. And sometimes we're being led by people who don't even know where they're going. But we get suckered into a fight. We get suckered into a fence. Matter of fact, in Luke 17, it says, whoa, Jesus says this, whoa, like, whoa. But actually, he means, like, sorrowful, like, whoa. Woe to them to whom offenses come. Because offenses are coming. He said there's no way to get out of fights. So if there's no way to get out of fights, we might as well know how to fight. It's like trying to play football, right? We talked about the flags. It's like trying to play football without knowing the rules. If I do a foul and somebody throws a yellow flag and I don't stop and I keep playing, it's not going to work. So instead, when we go into a fight, instead of like matching energy, in a relationship, we can never give 100%. And we say that to each other. Like, you're not giving 100%, right? Like, I'm giving all of me. And really, they shouldn't be giving 100%. And if we are giving 100%, that leaves zero for them to give. The relationship is 100% is a total. So some days, it's 50-50. We're both carrying the weight. Some days, 60-40. Some days, I'm having a really bad day, and I'm a 20, and he needs to carry the 80. And then it flip-flops the other way around. So if he's having a 20 day, right, and things were really stressful, everything went wrong, he comes home, and maybe I didn't even do anything, but it comes out, right? Da, 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 da. I have two choices. Match his energy and just scrap it and throw down. He's going to say things that are going to hurt me. I'm going to say things that are going to hurt him. Or two, I can say, okay, you're having a 20% day. Now, I can't say that to him, right? Because if you say that to somebody on a 20% day, they're going to throw hands.
They're going to throw 2% milk on you. Also, too, you know, I want to make sure that people understand, we don't not have intense times of fellowship. We don't. This is just 26 years, and also having a front row seat to people and go, that doesn't work, and this doesn't work. Here's the one thing that I really, really want to make sure I don't forget to say today to you, is that whatever you do, appreciate that person and try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and say, wait a minute, I don't want to be like them, because some people just don't have the sense to realize they don't miss it until it's gone. And I've watched people steamroll their wife or steamroll their husband, and then they end up moving on or committing suicide, all kinds of crazy things. I've watched all these things play out. And then now the person is looking for somebody else instead of saying, you know what, remember before we had kids, we had fun. Remember that? We had kids. You don't even remember how to have fun. Come on, every campus, at least somebody, you had fun, you went on date nights, you laughed together. Now it's just like we're in business together, we're raising the kids, we're building a house, we're building a business. And now you're business partners, and then all of a sudden now you're having agreements and disagreements, and now meetings are even in the bedroom. In fact, a friend of mine taught me this a few years ago. When you pastor a church and you work together, it's like you have meetings, meetings, meetings all day. And then sometimes you get in bed, and then it's like, you know what? Here's our chance for our one-on-one. Why did you say that in that meeting? I thought you should have done this. Why don't you do this? And so my buddy, he's a pastor of a mega church as well, and the problem is he has one and we have eight. And so we lay in bed. We got a lot to talk about. And so he said, what you do is you get up. And if you're going to talk about it, you go to the hallway. So Melanie said, hey, I want to blah, blah, blah. He said, let's go to the hallway. He got out of bed. They went to the hallway. Then they got back in bed, and she brought it up again. He said, all right, we're going to the hallway. And eventually you get tired of getting up, getting out of bed, and going in the hallway. He told me, the bed is for two things. And I don't want to say it because the 14-year-olds are here, but you figure it out. Sleeping and cuddling. Come on. Amen? And so make sure that you appreciate that person. Date that person, love that person, and just be nice to that person. Even, you know, today, Nicole got a new dog. She's going to announce the name of the dog this afternoon on Instagram.
That's news to me.
So I came in with the dogs. I didn't sleep really well. I woke up like at 5, and I came in with the dogs. My hair looked crazy. And so I know she likes it when I'm having fun. So if I came in and I had the song playing by Garth Brooks, Fire and Ice, right? It's in my pocket. You know, it's a beautiful song. And then I got the two dogs, cheek to cheek, and I came in dancing. Now, I look like Don King. Come on, somebody. But I'm dancing, and she's like, oh, I could tell immediately, I love it. She grabbed her phone, and I said, don't dare put that on Instagram. She said, oh, I'm just going to send it to the kids. I'm going to send it to the kids. And that's fine. She sent it to the kids. Because if daddy ain't happy or mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So I didn't feel like coming and dancing with the dog. I stepped over a pile of poop on the way through our bedroom with the dog. It was from the dog, by the way. And come on, help me with this right now. I've really got myself deep in this. But you have to come home and have fun. Laugh together, love together, dance together, kiss together, eat pizza together. Just have fun.
Well, but in the bed a couple of nights ago, we did have an interaction, and it wasn't good. Can we just tell a real life story? Can we do like a like case study on this? Can we be real pastors, or do you want us to be perfect? How about real? If it's real, say real all campuses.
Real.
Okay, so.
They're like, I really want to hear what he did.
Well, actually, it was me. So I'm sitting in bed, and we had just gotten back in town. We had flown in, and we got in the house, and I was glad the heat was working. That was nice because it was, you know, kind of cool out. The problem was the heat was working at like 90 degrees. And he sleeps with the window open. It's like 62 in our room. So I know this isn't going to work. And we got some fancy schmancy thermostat that you control on your phone, which at the time seemed like a really good idea. So I'm on my phone trying to turn it down. And as soon as I turn it down, we have two thermostats. I'm trying to turn it down. It turns itself back up on the other one. I go to the other one and I turn it down and it turns itself back up. I'm turning it down. It's turning it up. I'm getting frustrated. I'm telling him these stupid things, and we had the heating cooling guys out three times. Don't they know what they're doing? Dap, dap, dap. It won't work. Log in, log out, delete the app, reinstall. Burp, burp, burp. Taking them on a play-by-play. And here's the thing. Here's the line we started using. The story I'm telling myself is, instead of what you did. You know what you did? You didn't appreciate me. You didn't value me. No, the story I'm telling myself is, I know he is so proud of me right now. You see, I'm saving him all this trouble. He doesn't know how frustrating it is, so I'm just letting him know all the trouble that I'm saving him. I am probably amazing, and he's going to think I'm awesome. Well, the story he was telling himself.
Well, we went to bed because it was just that. She flipped over and said, you know what? You need to download, what I heard was, you need to download this app and help around the house. To which I'm thinking, what does she think I do around the house? How does all this stuff happening? So we go to bed. We have a noisemaker because we travel a lot. And so we need this, like, consistent staple in our life, which is like, right? So she immediately goes to sleep. And I'm sitting there aggravated. This isn't at all what I want. And so about midnight, I can't sleep. And the Bible says, I want to put it on the screen, Ephesians 4:26. It says this, be angry. So anger is normal. But do not sin, because if you get anger and it rolls over into rage and you lose the fruit of the Spirit and anger is not done by love, then now you're acting like your daddy acted, right? So it says, be angry and do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That means settle it before you go to bed. Unfortunately, Nicole fell asleep really quick. It still wasn't settled in my head, so I turned that off. As soon as I turned that on, she wakes up, and I said, hey. And I was kind of up already there because I've already had this thing in my head. I've already listed everything I do around the house, everything I do as a man, how lucky she is to have me. Very few people are capable of doing what I've got a whole list of stuff. And so I started telling her, you know what? I want to talk about what you said. But what was great is she had the presence of mind to say, okay, now I hear what you're saying. And I could have done that better. And I could have done this better. And I could have done. And so we sit there and talked about it. But she had some more things to say. And what was interesting, and she really does well at this, she went ahead and just like, didn't like, not going to talk about it. We resolved it for the most part. But then the next day, she said, hey, can I talk about a couple things last night? Yeah, absolutely. Because what you can't do is like, are we going to bring that up again? Really? I thought we settled that last night. You want to make this a multi-day event? What's the deal? Is this like a pass for 4 days? I promise you, other campuses, there are people here that are just looking at me like, what'd you say? How'd you do it? What a tool bag. She was sleeping. My God. Okay. So now she was able to communicate to me, not from a point of anger, because that's what we do. We get angry and we're mad. We say things we regret. We pull out the knives. If somebody has a prison record in your family, it's coming out right then. Just where you don't fight fair. And so that's how we kind of resolve that.
Well, because you can win the battle, but you don't win the war. So we have to be smart enough to know. He woke up, he turned the noisemaker off. I knew he wasn't at 20%. He was at zero. So I can either match his energy, or I can decide. And this is something 3 years ago, I didn't practice this. 3 years ago, I wasn't good at this. Today, I'm not good at it, but I'm better than I was 3 years ago. but I am intentional. Come on, somebody. Everybody, we're intentional. We're growing, right? So he woke up at zero, and I knew, okay, we can either have World War III, or I can bring 100 right now. So I did my best to bring 100. I don't think I did. Now, he felt better. He turned over and went to sleep right away.
It was my turn.
And started snoring. Now, my feelings were hurt because remember the story I was telling myself was I was a hero. And what I found out was he thought I was the opposite of hero because we fight hidden messages, right? Hidden meanings. We fight about three things: power, trust, and value. What I found out was I was doing my very best to bring value to the relationship, and he thought I was bringing him no value. I wasn't seeing his value. I wasn't appreciating his value. So when I thought I was bringing value, I was doing the exact opposite thing. So what I used to do, he would get up, he'd be mad, I'd be mad. I'd tell him how valuable I was, what I did all day too. Instead, I heard him, I tabled my issues. He went to sleep. I went out and literally read my Bible for like an hour. I was like, Jesus, I need to stay saved. I need to not get out a knife. You know,
morning,
he needs to wake up.
The next morning I walk out and it says, it's highlighted, thou shalt not kill. No, I didn't.
You know, so I had to get my head right. I get my head right. I go back to bed. And then the next day, so where I used to get in trouble was I would try and address issues when I was emotional. I get so emotional, baby. You ever ripped off a text or a voicemail or something right when you felt it and you sent that sucker off and 5 minutes later you were better and you would pay $100 to get it back? It's the same thing in a fight, right? We can rip things off in our mouth. Actually, can I pause right there for a second and just address something? There's three ways to address somebody in a fight. There's text, there's phone call, and there's in person. And a lot of times we get all tripped up because we try and handle in a text what is a phone call, and we try to handle in a phone call what we should do in person. Because did you ever send anybody a text and what you meant and what they thought you meant were different things? So if it's iffy, it's an issue, don't text it. Talk it. Don't talk it when you're emotional. Don't text when you're emotional. Don't meet in person when you're emotional. Wait until you got you under control. You can't control them, and we're lucky when we can control us. Can I just be real? But wait until the emotion is gone, and when the emotion is gone, then you can bring it up. That way, if he comes back at me with heat, if he's still sensitive about last night, I know I'm going to be okay. I can bring enough coolness to the conversation so that we can have a real conversation, and we can turn conflict into connection instead of letting it be a brick in the house of divorce.
So there's a scripture, they'll put it on all campuses, and it's Philippians 2. Let's look at the screen. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. That's tough, isn't it? It's selfishness. How many times have you gotten in a fight because of selfishness? But with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. Man, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. So Jesus' attitude was like, hey, he didn't do anything wrong, but thank God he took on all our sins. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus paid for all of our sins and all of our shortcomings? I mean, that does deserve a hand clap right there. You talk about the ultimate Super Bowl sermon, that's it. But if it was selfish, if he was selfish, he would have done it. In fact, it wasn't comfortable because he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for me. So with us, we got to look at the situation and go, wait a minute, as we continue to come to church, that's why I'm so proud of you every week at every campus. You go to church, whether we're on the screen or here in person. And I was even watching today, my buddy Scott over there, he's looking at the screen right now because I was watching him all day going, does he see me in person? No, he doesn't. He sees me on the screen, which is good for me because it tells me that he's fine seeing me on the screen. I've been with Scott. He was my drummer when I was like 12. We were both little kids. In fact, give it up for Scott and Jen. They've been married a long time now. He was so in love with Jen, still in love with Jen. When I say he's in love with Jen, he's not alcoholic. His wife's name is Jennifer. So when you're fighting or the enemy's coming in, know that when you come to church and you go through Growth Track and you hear the word every week, you talk to your campus pastors and you start serving, you'll get around people and those people start rubbing off on you. And that's why we say, you know, give this church a year. And a year from now, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself because you won't recognize yourself. You're like, hey, be glad I'm saved. A year ago, I would have shot you for that. But today, I'm just kind of whatever, right? So when the word renews our mind, It renews our emotion. It puts us in a right frame of mind to where we win. Because here's what I really want for all of you at every campus. Why do we do this? We do this because we love you. We do this because we don't want you separating from your kids. We want you guys living together, and not just living together, like doing your time. People do that. That can be done. I want you guys to enjoy each other. I want you to be excited about the little trip. I mean, it can be camping. It can be going down to Forest Park and Art Hill. It can be whatever you do, you're just doing it together. And by words of affirming one another, loving one another, building one another up, the more you can do that, the better it's going to be for you and your kids, because your kids will be a direct result of who you are. Don't look so depressed. Smile. You won't know it's you, right? So your kids are going to be like, yeah, I look at this guy back from Washington. He's got his wife and his kids and his kids' kids and his grandkids. Every Sunday, even if I'm in Florida, I know his little beautiful white bushy head is going to be sitting right there, right? So as he went, so went the whole family. Men, that's why I'm so proud of you at our church. We've got some real men showing up, showing out for God, getting in groups. Come on, give it up for those guys. And that's what a real man looks like.
And I know we're getting ready to close. And since we're getting ready to close, I don't want to leave without life change. And how many of you heard at all campuses, you heard something today like, okay, that's something I can sit with. That's something I can work on in me. And so that I can fight better. I can fight fair. I can turn conflict into connection. Can I get a good amen? Okay. I love that we're all there. Can I challenge you one more step? How many of you had today you realized, hey, there's still an invisible axe, an invisible knife, a root of, ooh, I remember you said that. I'm still a little bit mad. I'm still a little bit angry. We have a little root, a little something still in us from a previous fight. Can I get a hand and say an amen? Okay, so that means you're human and you're real. So all campuses, would you mind standing up for a minute? I just want to pray over you. And to give everybody some privacy, at all campuses, would everybody close their eyes and bow their head? And if you happen to be with your mate, the person you're dating, your best friend today, whoever you had that conflict with, that maybe there's a little something still in you, would you maybe reach out and grab them on the arm, grab their hand real quick, nobody's looking, just give them a little squeeze. And that's you being brave to say, hey, I'm gonna come to you later with something vulnerable. And I'm going to do best to bring good energy. And if you get hot, I'm not going to mess your energy, but I'm asking if you'll hear me. And then I'm going to pray that the Holy Ghost is going to give us courage, give us ears to hear, strength to confront, and the wisdom to overcome. Father God, I pray for each brave couple, each brave relationship, each brave person right now who said, okay, I can see that there's something in me that I need to talk about and get out. And God, I thank you for a partner that I could grab onto and I know they're going to listen. God, for those of us who have some listening to do, God, give us the courage to hear it and get better from it. God, give those who are sharing things love. Let every word be laced in love. God, I ask that the Holy Spirit just comes into the middle of these relationships and make them stronger. It says in your word that my heart is fixed. Fix those broken hearts, those broken pieces, and give them strength. You say that a threefold cord, one person, the other person, and the God in the middle is not easily broken. I decree it, and I declare it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, and one thing I want to say, as she was praying that prayer, I said it last night as well, is whether you're in this relationship or another relationship, you're going to have to learn to forgive. And something we teach a lot around here is forgiveness. And so if somebody's done anything really stupid to you, maybe there was some infidelity or a failure, you're like, I just got to move on. I understand you have every biblical right to do that. But I've found that a lot of people that stay together, actually that person doesn't do it again. And then you go into a relationship where a person hasn't made that mistake, or the person lied to you and they've made the mistake a lot and they're habitual, a fornicator, an adulterer. And I just want to let you know, everybody makes mistakes. Don't be beat down about it. And I also don't like it when people hold people's like a puppy, training it, and hold their face to it a million times. If they did it, admit it, quit it, forget it, and move on. Don't continue to make people pay, all right? Is that all right for today? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Now, I don't like anybody leaving until the pastor comes up and says, you can go. But be seated, and you're going to love what you're doing here at Faith Church, Born to Shine.